Thanks so much for that, and may God be with us in the hearing and understanding of His Word that we might apply it in our lives. It's been so great to have Scouts with us in a lot of ways today and sharing your gifts with us. We look forward to more time and very appropriate anthem today in bringing us together as one and all the things that we can celebrate. As you've probably guessed from different illustrations that I'll bring up in my sermons before, I am a pretty big sports fan. And one of my favorite things in how I like to watch sports is when there are players that have very unique skill sets and maybe would not fit naturally or easily into the way that their sport has tended to be played. And then I'll try to see it and find it really interesting when someone like that starts to figure out how they can integrate in and whether or not that will work for them, for their team, what impact that might even have on the sport at large with how things might change around them when people see a skill set as valuable in a way that they didn't before. So some examples of that I've seen in sports over the years recently is it used to be that if you were like a very tall but very skinny basketball player, and so people thought that you'd get banged around in the post and just get hurt. You couldn't cut it, and so they didn't want you to go out far away, even if you had some pretty good skills. So a skinny, tall person would not play as much in basketball, but now if you have good skills, and whether you're big like Shaq used to be or smaller and more live, that's turned basketball into something where there are players like that all over the floor, and that has changed the way people make shots and the way that the game flows. And people have found a place that way. I think that's also true that for a long time in football, we've got the Super Bowl coming up next week, that wide receivers were also thought of as being like, it was best if you could be big and be hard to tackle after you caught it, maybe block people out that are guarding you to get the ball. But now you see a lot of very short but very fast, kind of skillful wide receivers that they find out how to get into space and make it hard for defenses to play that way. There are also examples of this in other sports, like in baseball. It used to be focused more on how many hits can you get all the time, but then you may have heard of the book or the movie Moneyball, and so then more and more teams just appreciated, even if you just walk, if you can stand there like this and not strike out and sometimes get on base that way, being on base is how you're able to get runs, no matter if you get it by a hit or a walk, and so the ability to get walks was brought up in value. In soccer, my favorite sport, there are different ways that people who didn't fit natural positions are finding new roles. It might be a player who's not naturally very offensive but is good at defense and then transition passing that may have before just been locked in kind of the back of the team but now is able to go forward and create transitions and scoring opportunities more. And I know that not everybody is into sports, but there are different versions of that in a lot of different disciplines. Maybe if you like music, you can think about what it would be like for someone who is into a very unique instrument but then wants to try to join a band and integrate in that way. I know one example that jumps to mind for me is there's a girl I knew at my high school who played the musical Saw. And so that was really neat for her, but there wasn't an easy way for her to join in with an ensemble and figure out how to do that. Maybe some of you have had something where you've got that one ingredient, that weird herb or spice that's like in your pantry and it doesn't go down nearly as fast as all the rest of the ingredients that are in your cupboard, and you're like, what am I going to do with this? And then you find this really fun, unique recipe that integrates a unique type of ingredient that you wouldn't otherwise. If you're into theater or movies or things like that, there are actors. I think Christopher Walken is probably the classic example of this, that he doesn't really play like different characters, but he's a really interesting guy, and so you put him into almost any story or movie, even though he's very unique in his own thing, that can make the movie or the play or whatever it is very compelling. And I think that most of us do have things about ourselves as well, in one way or another, that we can feel this way a lot of the time too. There's some characteristic that we have, some interest that we're passionate about, that we're not sure that other people really relate to very easily or that they'll get excited about the same way that we do for ourselves. It's something that we probably care about a lot, but it's hard to feel like that part of us will find a place to fit or an opportunity to be expressed. And when that happens, I think that often will bring some of the hardest feelings that we can have as people. Those feelings of being maybe misunderstood or unappreciated or left out or unseen. But again, I think that that's something that maybe it looks different for each of us, but we probably all have had at least a little bit of that feeling in one situation or another. And that's part of what we can find really valuable to explore with God together in our current sermon series, which is called God in the Everyday for Everyone. We're going through a number of weeks where we're getting to learn about Bible characters that don't normally get a lot of attention. Probably most of us had not heard of Micaiah before today, right? And we're also looking at other passages where they have things to say about how God comes to us in feelings and experiences that, again, we may not automatically relate to faith or to the churchiest stuff, but that they're important in our lives, and we want to feel a sense of, like, well, how does God show up even in those things that I don't hear about as much at church most of the time? And so with Micaiah today, again, I think a big part of his story and his experience and where we see God working is those same feelings of being kind of on the outside, wondering if what you feel called to fits in with other things that are going on. He's trying to figure out, how can I be faithful and discerning and sharing what God's will is with those around me? But I'm, as Micaiah, in a very difficult, but I hope for us, maybe relatable situation. Right? He's in the midst of, it said, hundreds of prophets that all work in the king's court. And they're all trying to find ways to seem holy and impressive. And it's basically the way that most of them have come up with is, we're just going to be a yes man for the king. Whatever he says that he wants to do, we'll say, oh, of course, yes, God definitely wants you to do that. Go for it. We'll tell you that everything's okay. And that's a way for them to get power for themselves, but it's just encouraging corrupt power in the court. And that Micaiah seems very convicted about this and doesn't want to see that happen. He wants to see God's will and what's right happen instead. He doesn't want to see that corruption spread into his community. We may not know this from the passage itself, but many of us may have heard of the prophets Elijah or Elisha. They're a little bit more famous than Micaiah in the Bible. They are also actually prophesying around the same time, overlapped with Micaiah. And they're not in the court. They're kind of more walking around the countryside and interacting with people, but also often interacting with the king. So the king of Israel in this particular passage is King Ahab. He's famous for being the one where he and Elijah had sort of a standoff, like, should we worship Baal or should we worship God? And they set up altars, and there's sort of a famous story about how the Baal prophets are trying to call down fire to show that Baal is more powerful and they can't. And then Elijah has God send fire to show that God is real. And so that's a famous Bible story a lot of us get in Sunday school. That is happening at the same time that Micaiah is also prophesying. So that's another thing. Like, think about your Micaiah. Like, yeah, I'm one of the guys who's trying to speak up for what's right, trying to speak up for the ways of Yahweh and what God wants. I'm amidst hundreds of people who are going against me. There are other people who I could side with who see things the same way I do and are following God with the same faithfulness, but I'm not around them. And they are way more famous than me. And their calling involves, like, miracles and looking really impressive and that you can do these amazing things. And my calling is to tell someone what they don't want to hear about the way the world should really be. That's a hard thing to operate in from day to day. And then also, even when he is recognized, right, the king says, and we'll even tell Jehoshaphat, I know that this guy really does seem to be serious about listening to God. He's not just a yes man. But he resents Micaiah for it. And I'm sure that's something maybe we can think of times too. Even the things that people know, oh yeah, he is really good at that particular thing. She's always helping out in this way around the office or in our family or whatever. But that there are people who resent even the thing that you are good at. Even when it gets recognized, it's not recognized in a positive way. And they, all right, we have to listen to him, but they just kind of want to push him aside and keep him off away and feeling kind of ostracized. And you can see he even probably is speaking very sarcastically. He knows how people perceive him. So when he's first called, he's like, yes, of course, like everyone says, you should go to battle and you'll be victorious because that's what you wanted to hear, right? You're hoping that God will also say that through me. And we don't hear it necessarily in the original reading, but I think that's probably what's going on. And that's why the king's like, come on, Micaiah. We know why you're here. I know that you're going to say what I don't want to hear, but let's just be sincere about it. And so he is willing to, even though he has all of those different circumstances and all of those frustrations. And so Micaiah's ongoing work in trying to be a prophet for this corrupt King Ahab of Israel, it doesn't get a lot of other mentions in Scripture. He is kind of operating on the sidelines, or where it doesn't get a lot of attention. But his experience is one that we can see versions of over and over and over again throughout Scripture with other people. Because God does seem to enjoy saying, let me find the faithfulness, more than finding the people who are trying to play the power games, who are always trying to look the most impressive. I can come into that and do something surprising but meaningful. And so he's willing to be faithful in those ways that God is calling him, even though it doesn't generally fit in with what's going on around there. And God is able to use that willingness to be unique, that willingness to come at it from God's angle and not the expected angles. And that's something that we can find encouragement for and find important for our own lives when we have those same feelings of saying, this is something I feel like God has developed in me. This is something I feel like God is inviting me to do. It may seem that it doesn't fit easily. It may seem that it's unappreciated by other people. But I know that if God put it there, that God will be faithful to see something remarkable come from it. We might question if there really is value in something that's unique about us and in the way that we see the world, because we may have even had those experiences of other people telling us, I don't see it. I don't get it. Can't you just fit in with everything else? We might have had the experience of having the discouragement of trying to persevere in something where it doesn't get any response, or even it doesn't feel like it's getting notable results or success, because other parts of the world measure success and results differently. And so even when we are seeing progress for what God wants, other people may say, oh, but see, you're not doing anything significant, because that's what being powerful and impressive looks like otherwise, in these values that are not the same as God's. You may even have times where you say, if I do this, there might be something, this unique thing that I feel like God is called to, because other people don't get it, I might miss out on something. I might be putting myself at risk, even though it's good to remain faithful to what God has called and what God has put in us that's unique. And so it can then become tempting for us to just say, I'm just going to hide it. I'm going to minimize it. I'm only going to bring it out where it feels completely safe. And maybe even sometimes I will just decide to join up with something that is more popular, what everyone else is saying, the way that things seem to be going naturally, because I don't want to deal with all of that risk and that cost. I want to find advantages, even if I know that there's something, that there's a problem with the advantages I'd be seeking by going along with something else. But it was important to Micaiah, that he was able to remain faithful to God with his unique perspective and in his unique role. King Ahab's selfish and corrupt actions were putting people's lives at risk. He was basically, in his own pride, going to send a bunch of regular Israelites to be chariot fodder just because he thought he wanted this piece of land. But that's not what God was looking for. Those misrepresented values were going to undermine the health and vitality and thriving of everyone, and were not following the way that the kingdom of God is supposed to work. And that has extra cost, because also the kingdom of God was supposed to be embodied by God's people in Israel and Judah. They're supposed to be willing to do things different to give an example to the other countries around them, so that not only Israel and Judah could thrive, but that if other countries would have good relationships and good examples from them, that they would thrive and not be caught up in the cycles of war and destruction either. Now, it's clearly true that Ahab rarely was willing to listen to Micaiah, but it is important that he was willing to continually go and live in that unique call so that people could know what it was that God really wanted, even if that isn't what King Ahab ended up doing. If Micaiah wasn't willing even to quote-unquote fail by saying, Ahab, don't do this, but then Ahab would still do it, the risk was that it might seem to other people that God was co-signing on Ahab's corruption and evil and the cost that he was bringing on other people. Or that may have seemed to people like, oh, when Ahab doesn't succeed, it's just because he was doing what God wanted, but maybe God's not powerful enough. And so the fact that Micaiah, even if his outcomes were not what we would hope for, he was making sure that other things were not happening that would ruin what it was that God was doing amongst the people. And that may not have had very obvious, measurable success things that he could be excited about and go home to, I don't know, whoever it was and say, I got Ahab to listen to me today. But he could know that he was making sure that God's will was being lifted up and that those who were impacted negatively by Ahab would know that they were not alone. And the passage that we read in James today, I think, gives us more explanation about why this is so important, that we could have our own uniqueness, be faithful with Micaiah through the help of God's Spirit. And that includes even those unique things that God gives us all the way to today, because we see it from hundreds of years in the scripture of, in 1 Kings and on to James. We can see how it continues to have applications in our lives too. The foundation of James' words about faithfulness for us has a bedrock of listening, patience, and discernment. So if we connect the whole passage from James and Micaiah as an example, I think that we can see that there are some important things to listen for how we try to be faithful in our uniqueness. So that then we can understand and we can act out faithfully what our unique callings are and what our unique perspectives are that we can bring to the world, what our unique gifts are that we can share. First off, James would encourage us that we need to understand ourselves. We should not hide from those gifts that God gives us and that are unique just because other people don't automatically value them or find them to have it be harder for them to find a place for. If we know that God has put this in us, whether other people recognize it or not, it is good for us to cultivate that sense of, I know other people may not get me, but I can feel good and confident about what God has put there, and I'm not going to be afraid to cultivate it, to grow it, to develop it, and see what God may ultimately end up doing. It is also important, though, not only to understand ourselves, but to understand the context that we find ourselves in. Micaiah understood not only the message that God had given him, but also that he was going to be in a situation where that needed to be lifted up, but it also would often be unappreciated. Just because something is different or uncommon does not mean that it's not needed in a particular circumstance. Often, in fact, it is unique gifts that are most often needed because they can help a situation in a way that has never been accounted for up to that point. So when situations get stuck, it's something unique that people are willing to put out there that can help get it unstuck. We want to be able to not only see what we can have, but to see what's going on around us and have a perspective that can say, even if others don't know, I can see how this unique thing will shake things up that are stuck. That this will fit in this place where there's a gap that maybe other people don't even see the gap. And not only knowing yourself, but for a unique thing to be used for impact for God's kingdom, we have to know what's going on that needs the intervention of God's kingdom around us. And so we can be good listeners and understanders of what's happening around us. And then finally, we want to make sure that we understand God's foundational values of salvation life. Sometimes we can get overly focused on just our unique gift itself and think of it in a vacuum. Or we can focus most on the fact that it's difficult to have it come into a situation if other people don't see its value. And so when we get focused that way, we can accidentally forget that the most important things in whatever it is that we can do is being a part of God's bigger program of justice and compassion and grace and wholeness and salvation for everyone. If we look for how our values and our gifts that are unique connect to those things that God has and wanting for everyone, then we'll make sure that much more to match up with them rather than just worrying about if they match up with what we automatically see. When we faithfully hold these three things together, knowing ourselves, knowing our context, and knowing God's underlying kingdom, God can bring out amazing experiences for our faith and our unique callings, and then therefore amazing impact for the lives around us who we touch. But James also points out that what can happen if they end up out of balance at all. If we overfocus on ourselves, then we can often end up being rash. And you can think of this as there's an old sketch from Dave Chappelle called When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong. So it's basically the idea of, like, I'm going to come and I'm just going to say whatever's on my mind as rashly and crazy as possible, because that's just like me living in my truth or keeping it real or whatever. But that's not keeping it real in the sense of I recognize what other people need as well as myself. So it is good to bring yourself out, but if you focus on yourself and not how you're relationally connecting with other people, you're going to do something that could probably not have the impact that you want on other people because you're not taking their experience into mind. On the other hand, if we overfocus on our context, we can end up being just sort of a judgmental wallflower and not actually helping what's needed and in the context at all. And we know that that's a temptation too. I'm just going to kind of stay to the side and I'll make my comment because I see that something is wrong or something is off and I do see it differently, but I don't really want to get involved or put the risk. But it does feel good sometimes to say how everyone else is bad. And we don't want to get sucked into that too and just start focus on context that way. And in both of these things, if we don't have them in balance, then we're going to miss out on how we're supposed to understand the values of God's kingdom first again. And so our unique callings may end up being misused, or they will end up just having an impact that's empty or even harmful. So I hope that Micaiah's story and James' instruction can inspire us to find ways to be faithful with things for each of us that we may have held back before because they're unique, or we may have worried, can God actually use this or not because it seems so different? And that knowing this can help us remember how best to live out our callings in faithful ways that God will show us and lead us in, so that we can be exactly who God made us, we can apply it in the situations where it is most needed, and we can see God's kingdom come in its true fullness and value. It's also important, I think, though, that we can see these lessons not just for how we make choices for ourselves and our own characteristics, our own interests, our own gifts, but that these lessons are also just as important in our relationships and how we operate communally, for how we make room for other people to step forward in their uniqueness, just at the same time that we are stepping forward in ours, so that we can see their characteristics, their interests, their gifts. And together as God's family, we can live faithfully where everyone is doing that. Unique gifts and perspectives can be hard to have and to find an outlet for. And so sometimes they end up being tricky for communities to find a place to use them. And so we can end up wanting to just say, I'll ignore that. I'll keep that to the side. I'll sort of give it lip service, but not really integrate it in any meaningful way. We have to make sure that we're remembering that God is beyond any one of us individually. Throughout Scripture, again, we see God using people's unique gifts and callings and perspectives in large part because that helps get others out of ruts where they were sure, we know exactly what it is that God wants. And God's like, nope, and I keep telling you I want it differently, and you're not getting it, and so I need somebody to come around from the other side in this unique gift that I've given them so that you don't keep missing it, but that all of you can, in fact, experience the fullness of my salvation life. So if we don't find these ways to not only live out for ourselves, but to make room for others to live out at the same time, we can miss out on a fuller understanding of God and a fuller experience of salvation life in God's kingdom. Not only if we don't act out in faith the things that God has given us but that we worry don't fit, but also if we don't make room in our lives for other people who are acting out their unique callings, even when it doesn't seem that what they have will fit in at first, the same way that it might feel that way for us. The more we can discover more fits together because of God's gifts and because God's Spirit moves us together as one, then that is one of the best ways that we can, in fact, experience more of God who is beyond us, more of salvation life that we need to grow into, more of heaven here on earth. Again, I remind you of some of those examples of ways that different people's skill sets that didn't have a place at first in sports or in music or in cooking or whatever it is, but that by having some openness, by having some willingness to try a different recipe, a coach that's willing to bring out someone's gift that didn't have a place normally in the way that people do sports, but then he saw that could be a unique advantage, or a coach saw this is, we can put in something new that will help us be more competitive. I know for me, I will always remember the girl who played saw in our high school because she wanted to play with other people. She tried even to do cello, but and she was pretty good at it. It was another bow instrument, but she missed doing the saw. That was like her thing. And our orchestra conductor and teacher found out about it, found out why she was quitting orchestra, and said, you know, let's find a piece. There's got to be a piece somewhere that they have written apart for musical saw, but our school would never have gotten to do if we didn't know that you played this, or if we didn't have someone in our school that did that. And so we played a piece one year. It was one of my favorite pieces that I ever played with the orchestra. And it was something that people, I'm sure, will always remember, and that a lot of schools would never have the opportunity to have had that experience because, one, she was willing to put herself out there that this is something I care about and I'm not going to set to the side, even if it doesn't fit. And there was a teacher who was willing to say, I don't want to just say, oh, well, that's different. We have opportunities for you to fit in, and if you don't take advantage, then whatever. But that because those two things came together, of putting yourself out there and making room, something that was a wonderful experience, not only for her, but for our whole band and our whole school. And those are the types of things that we can continue to do as God's community today if we have that same attitude.